everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. After failing to grab the trend of the ice cream, good, yes. It didn't work. I couldn't grab a piece of that market. I don't know, maybe I'm not doing it right. But a new trend is rising, and I think this is going to be how I deliver the news on an everyday basis. The Uwu Cat Lady delivery of news. Let's have a listen. This is actually pretty good.
The UN Secretary General says Gaza is becoming a graveyard for children, with over 4,000 gone and over 1,000 missing under the rubble. Daijoubu janai. Ohayo, America-chan! Since World War II, the United States has given over $200 billion to Israel in aid, adjusted for inflation. Kya! Suguru-kun, as of September, about 62% of Americans are living from paycheck to paycheck. There's no point in advancing technology if it doesn't lead to increased happiness, safety, and quality of life. Moshi moshi! Tens of thousands of people have been marching for a ceasefire, saying, "No ceasefire, no votes! Ikimasen ka?" Yakai! The US Marines are now sponsoring gaming streams on Twitch, but Marines in my comments say there's still mold in the barracks. Ganbatte! Ane! Chan! 6.8 million American households had very low food security in 2022. Pyong pyong! Nyong nyong! Nya. Bedbugs have been around since the time of the dinosaurs! My best friendo!
Oh my god, this is fucking amazing. How can she do this? Is this a joke or is this real? Do people consume this? We'll see. I don't know. But anyways, good for her that she can deliver like this. Dino Logovic says, the actual truth, JF, is this it? Yes, you have accessed the actual truth. No, the actual truth is a comment made by Elon Musk, and it's quite fascinating to be in such a post-factual world that the truth can be attached to a descriptor actual, because normally you would just call it the truth. But in a world where there is so much deception, the actual truth becomes an interesting phrasing that you have to use to emphasize on the real, real truth. The truly true, true truth. And Elon Musk said this in response to a comment on Jewish communities. And it's amazing to be in the place I am in life and to just be watching the winning of our arguments. The winning of arguments we were fighting for tooth and nail 5-6 years ago, and just to see them just winning on their own. And I feel super proud when I see the current resistance that's rising against Israeli military arguments of all kinds, and they're really their failure of their propaganda. Their propaganda is totally failing on a free market of ideas. And a free internet is one in which the lies don't make it. On a free internet, the weapons of mass destruction stuff, the propaganda of suffering and atrocity propaganda that they're attempting to pull, it just doesn't work. It gets called out, and it will convince a bunch of boomers who aren't super connected, but a true opposition is rising. And we see Elon Musk as part of it. We see Kanye West. We see Candace Owens. And really, it seems that the powers that we criticized back then are losing control. They are totally losing control, and they will lose it for good. Because once the internet is locked in a free direction, it's going to take way too much money to buy everyone out, the way they could do back in the cable TV days. Here's a debate that will happen in 25 minutes. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Laura Loomer and Dave Smith debate Israel-Hamas war. I will certainly watch it, probably not live because we'll still be in this show, but I'll go watch it at the end of this show. Not super impressive. to have a Palestinian-Israel debate and to have two Jews doing it. But I think that Dave Smith is a trustable guy. I think he's going to perform very well in this debate. I believe he will shatter expectations, and he might have a couple of good punches toward Laura Loomer tonight. I think Laura Loomer will come with a classical... I think she will fail. I think she, you know, respect to her. For sometimes I agree with Laura Loomer, but I think she will fail here. I think she will make her side look very, very bad. And Dave Smith is an intelligent guy. Of course, as a Jew who's taking the side of humanitarian concern for Palestinians, that's probably what he's going to take. And then he's going to take the probably the position of it's not our war. As Americans, we shouldn't care about all this. He's going to make a mix of these two, but he's a clever guy. So I hope that he prepared well. That is at least my hope. A Nigerian Diamond says, I so disagree with JF. Well, you disagree. What do you disagree with? You think Dave Smith is going to fail? Raised Fist says, they could not invite a Palestinian because of the risk of him. I'm not going to read the rest of this. Anyways, people were reminding me of good times. Yeah, you know, this is it. There it is, TPS 272. So I've made about 2,000 episodes since then, because I made about 1,000 episodes of TPS, and we're close to 1,000 episodes of JFG Tonight. And there were people, 800 people watching, and I was covering these news. This was a Palestinian doctor who had made some anti-Semitic comments, and I was covering this on YouTube. Those were the good days. Those were the good days. Amazing that the subjects we were most fascinated about back then are currently at the heart of civilizational disagreement. And that is very reassuring, that when there was not too much interest to talk about Jewish control, I saw it as a very important point, and I knew it would matter down the line. I knew it would matter. And for the last month, it's been mattering a lot. The comments of Elon Musk were in response to an account that said, okay, Jewish communities... So this was... Charles Weber initially said, to the cowards hiding behind the anonymity of the internet and posting Hitler was right, you got something you want to say? Why don't you say it to our faces? And he was showing the clip that we've analyzed before. It's a clip of the ADL or some group of the kind that says, you said these anti-Semitic things on 4chan? Here, son, I'm going to bring you to real Jews. And he shows them a bunch of Jews, and he's like, tell them. This whole passive-aggressive, cowardice calling. Don't tempt us. It's like, you are basically saying, if you don't live by your word and commit real-world violence, you're a coward. You're fighting from behind your keyboard. You're not even committing real-world violence. Shut the fuck up, bro. Okay, because I thought we were all about reducing real-world harm. So you should be happy that people are cowards, as you call them. That's the first thing. That's the first opposition to this ridiculous argument. But someone was saying, okay, Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. I'm deeply disinterested in giving the tiniest shit now about Western Jewish populations coming to the disturbing realization that those hordes of minorities that support flooding their country don't exactly like them too much. You want truth said to your face? There it is. And Elon Musk answers to this, you have said the actual truth. So Elon Musk siding with my theory that, you know, I had said that the theory that in my most crazy dreams, Elon Musk is a secretly based guy who's even more based and higher power level than even we would know from just his buying of Twitter. And I think it's basically the dream scenario that I was envisioning then is the reality. There, Elon Musk is calling out the Jewish double standard, saying, hey, where are you when we talk of white majority in Western civilization? You are generally on the hostile side. You are generally on the side that opposes to it. You are generally on the side, even the most centrist and most kind of right-wing Jews, when it comes to the question of white majorities, even a Ben Shapiro has said before that he was for the browning of America. Well, there you go. You got what you wanted. It is true that there in the extent of Jewish opinions on this question, when it goes to white majority, they cannot want it for Western civilization, but they seem to be wanting it pretty hard for Israel, and so hard that they're willing to kill the people who would form the alternative majority if they were let to live. So it is great news what we see develop on the public space right now, which is what we would have wanted years ago, and the issues that we have raised, they are winning, and they are winning without much. We don't need to do much efforts. They are winning by being true. And now you have people powerful as Elon Musk being forced to recognize the truth. So that's how an argument wins, by merely being true. Nigerian Diamond Mine says, I like you, Jeff, but you are starstruck by Elon Musk. I'm not. I think that everything I just said here, I would say in a scenario where someone else advances our cause, I say it to Candace Owens, I say it to Kanye West. They don't particularly strike me as stars. I don't idolize them. But you have to take the wins when they come. Based Devolver says, this is all performative. He isn't based. He's owned, and he does what is best for himself and his companies. I highly doubt that there is any winning to do here for Elon in presenting this view, if that's not his real view. I don't believe there is anything to gain. What do you gain by going after the Jewish lobby? Honestly, especially at a time where they are particularly bloodthirsty, where they are reactivating their persecution of free thinkers. It's really not, I don't see the advantage, other than having a love of the truth and wanting to put it forward. Meanwhile, the discussion between Ben Shapiro continues aggressively. You know, Candace Owen has been super graceful in this whole thing, and her appearance on Tucker was an absolute own of Ben Shapiro. Now, she didn't do a hone by going hard on him. She did a hone by rising above the melee. She owned him totally by being just gracious and graceful, by presenting Ben Shapiro as someone who's not even connected to the Daily Wire everyday operations, because he's not in Nashville, he's in Florida, while all of the Daily Wire operations are grounded in Nashville. And she presents it as, you know, that it's just this guy in Florida who has some opinion on me, and it really doesn't matter for the everyday, because I'm involved in the everyday production with the CEOs, with the people who are truly underground doing the studio work. Ben Shapiro is this guy out there who has some deal with the Daily Wire, but he's is isolated from the everyday feeling of how it is to work for the Daily Wire. He's merely connected to it by the internet. Now, that is a very graceful way to attack him, to say, like, this story is not even important. This whole speech that he did where he says she is ridiculous, that she has lost her mind on the issue of Israel, that it's worse than faux sophistication, that it's really ridiculous and disgraceful. All of this because Candace Owens is not taking a blind, pro-Israeli, bloodthirsty approach. That is what we have as a critique. That is all that he has against her. And 1 hour ago, he tweets this in response to her full Christian tweet. Now, her Christian tweet was the perfect attack. It was a very Jesus Christ type of attack. You know, an attack through grace and without truly attacking, an attack on the peaceful mode. She was saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Christ is king. Now, yesterday I read this and I was like, holy shit, this is going to trigger Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro hates Jesus Christ. Now, in all the world, anyone reads this and it's like, oh, this is nice. This is like a standing against money and for the pursuit of a truth that you feel for yourself. That is basically what it's about. It's like you will access heaven by... Even when you receive all the baseball hits, even when they go after you, when they persecute you, when they attack you unjustly, you are at peace with your pursuit of the truth and it leads you to heaven. That is kind of a beautiful message, especially in an extra-conflictual context. For her to have said this as her only response to Ben Shapiro's vicious attacks, it is kind of very good. Now, Ben Shapiro takes it the wrong way, and he says, Candace, if you feel that taking money from the Daily Wire somehow comes between you and God, by all means, quit. That is what Ben Shapiro just tweeted 1 hour ago. Very low, very... it's not very grand to see in this quote... She is conflicted in her mind about getting paid by the Daily Wire. And really, what we learned from her interview with Tucker, she has already pre-responded to Ben in a way through her interview with Tucker. Because she has said on Tucker, look, Ben Shapiro, there's lots of misunderstanding about his role at the Daily Wire. He is not the CEO of the Daily Wire. He has some deal. I interact with my bosses of the Daily Wire on an everyday basis. He's in Florida. I'm in Nashville with them. They know about me, that we are in a super good relationship. And importantly, the fact that Ben Shapiro came out after her, she says, is creating a false image of the true working relationship that exists within the Daily Wire, which is there she is alongside Matt Walsh, alongside Michael Knowles, alongside the CEOs of the co-CEOs of Daily Wire, and she's around them. And it's a great work environment, she says. And Ben Shapiro is out there in Florida, and he's not connected to any of these people other than through the internet. And so she answers to his appeal for her to quit. She says, "You have been acting unprofessional and emotionally unhinged for weeks now. And we have all had to sit back and allow it and have all tried to exercise exceeding understanding for your raw emotion. But you cross a certain line when you come for scripture and read yourself into it. I will not tolerate it." Ouch! That is beautiful, Candace Owens. Candace Owens is so gracious in the way she insults Ben Shapiro. See, she's not been on the offensive on anything here. But I, as a Frenchman, as a Frenchman who can see insults through lovely letters, I will note that she is suggesting through this sentence, wow, that is some of the most beautiful insults I've ever seen. She is suggesting that Ben Shapiro is reading the words of Jesus Christ and failing to understand them because he's too greedy. Bravo, Candace Owen. She is saying, you cross a certain line when you come for scripture and read yourself into it. She's saying, your heart is so closed to Jesus Christ that when you read his words, they sound different. They convey a different meaning in your head because your head is so obsessed about money that it's all you can see in my quoting of Jesus. When in fact, it's a message about the pursuit of truth, independent of all factors, including money, independent of persecution, independent of harassment. Oh my God, Candace Owens is top tier here. I didn't expect that level of subtlety in her response to the very, very weird attacks of Ben Shapiro. I think that what's happening at this point is you have a bunch of people at the Daily Wire that may not be that much, although they might all be Jews, they might not be that much into the let's defend Israel at all cost and let's be a circle jerk of pro-Israeli people. I think they understand that there is demand in America for something else and they want a piece of that pie, of that something else. And so they're going to grow discomfortable with having a Ben Shapiro who is now appealing for kind of ideological conformity within a wing of American media that he doesn't control. And ultimately, Ben Shapiro is probably funded and probably backed by a bunch of old media interests, the kind that would expect him to have enough power to change the Candace Owen, to whip everyone in the barn. But he doesn't have that power. It's slipping away from them and it's slipping away from him. That is such an important moment. And it's happening through relatively polite tweets. There's not much in these tweets, but you have to realize this is a very critical point. We have the loss of control of a radical wing of the pro-Israeli media. They're losing control, and it's happening here in November 2023, right in front of our eyes. That is absolutely beautiful, and Candace Owen kind of masters now this graceful lady of the media. I would highly recommend you go check out this Tucker interview. Honestly, I've been kind of feeling spammed by Tucker interviews and I've not been watching all of them because although I was enthusiastic at the beginning, some of them became kind of sweet and salty, softball throwing. But that is a very subtle interview where Candace Owen shows her mastery of standing above the melee, being the kind of untouchable queen that doesn't get into the little dirty fight that Ben Shapiro is trying to get her in. And she stands absolutely beautiful and fully pregnant. I believe she's 40 weeks, something like this. She's really at the end of a pregnancy, and her body seems ready for delivery. So, of course, that's a half-Jewish baby. Well, which is kind of a weird. It's weird that she has a. She calls. I don't know. Is her boyfriend Jewish or white? Bess Devolver says a good insult is extreme and gratuitous. A great insult uses just enough force and nothing more. Absolutely. There is a whole science of grace through insults. And even Charlie Kirk is siding with Candace Owen. I am genuinely confused why asking questions and quoting Bible verses about peace warrants a call to resign from Daily Wire. There should be more room in the conservative movement for disagreement. We can do better than this. Nigerian says, JF, come back to reality. I'm happy that you got a nice girlfriend, but come back. Okay, but, you know, you keep saying this. You've been saying this for like 10 minutes. But tell me where I'm wrong. It's much harder. It's very easy to say that someone is wrong. It's much harder to lay it out. Take something that I said, put quotes around it, and then say, that's where you're wrong, JF. Let's go through it. I'm here for it. I am a man of the public space. That is why we have a chat. I welcome disagreement, but you have to express it. That is another point that Candace makes in the Tucker Carlson interview. She says, look, I will not respond to Ben Shapiro's claim there because there is nothing. There is nothing intellectual. He's just saying I'm disgraceful, but not indicating what is it that he disagrees with of what I said. That is very interesting that she's ultimately responding to Ben Shapiro's attack that she is disgraceful by being so graceful. That is the whole theme of her response here. Deadstar has sent a super chat. He says the boomer American Israel supporting conservative somehow fails to understand that every Israeli bomb gives a Hamas fighter welfare and an apartment in their neighborhood. That is quoting a National Conservative article that was saying, Israeli MPs demand that USA and Europe take their Palestinians. Oh yeah, well, yes, there could be one of the consequences could be a kind of moving toward an immigration movement of people escaping Palestine. I don't like to speculate too much about it because I think that the people who talk about it as if it was coming for sure, they're kind of they're balloon testing this idea, and I don't like it. I don't like to say, they're gonna send these millions of Palestinians to Europe for sure. And it's like, when you say this, you're preparing the minds for it to happen. Why don't you shut the fuck up about the future? And if you wanna say let's keep this from happening, sure. But if you want it not to happen, why don't you talk about it? Why do you talk about it as if it had already happened? Nigerian says resulting her disgrace was leaving the Let me go back to his first tweet. He says, hey, unbanned Tomir Robinson's account a day before using his Twitter account. He told a lot of English working class people to go to the Remembrance Day occasion in London to counter protest and fight with the police. It ended with the media having lots of pictures of working class English people with England flags fighting the police. Rishi then used the resulting violence and media storm to bring in laws against protesting. Total psyop to take away British people's freedom. Elon is not your friend. that has nothing to do with it's like, I assigned you a task, Nigerian Diamond. I assigned you a task, and it was to quote something I said and indicate where you disagree, where I'm wrong. Now, you're bringing something totally foreign to my commentary. That is not a disagreement you have with me. That is, you're just thinking about something else. I haven't followed this story that you're mentioning, Elon going to England. Okay. But it's this is not a disagreement. You say, of course, it has something to do with it. Well, no, it doesn't. Now, you can argue that ultimately there is that I should take into account other factors than the one I've analyzed. But, bro, DK Shadow says, schizo moment. That is the definition of a schizo moment, bro. That was so distant to anything I've said. There are a million different alternative explanations to the story you just laid out. Now, I could get into the details if I go read about it. I don't know about it, but this is not a disagreement with anything I've said. It is not addressing anything that I've mentioned, other than you want me to weight your little English story about Elon Musk into my overall appreciation of Elon Musk. I don't care. To me, Elon Musk changes civilization more by this tweet than anything you just brought, even if I was to read about it or grant the full truth of it to you. It wouldn't matter. It's a minor story in England where you perceive some kind of ulterior motive to Elon's action that I'm not even sure makes sense. Nigerian says, literally talked about by Mark Collett, unless he is a schizo too. No, the story could be true. But you thinking that this is a good ground for me to revert my view of what I was talking of Elon Musk, which was his tweet, that's schizo. That's like, it's double schizo, the double portion. Ali Mayer sends a super chat. He says, did you see Tucker/Shkreli interview? Shkreli was saying Bankman-Fried hit him up to ask him what to expect in prison. Don't drop the soap. I had seen this clip of them. I don't know if they were talking to a picture of Sam Bankman-Fried or Sam Bankman-Fried had joined the live stream for like a few seconds, but they were laughing their ass off, and Martin Shkreli was giving counseling around prison and prison life. That was very hilarious. Silver Spider has sent a super chat. He says, hey Jeff, a boomer veteran coworker told me today, Israel hasn't killed any civilians. You fell for the Palestinian propaganda. I told him, Israel admitted to killing some civilians, but used the excuse of human shields. He instantly switched gears and said they should kill every man and woman and child. That is such a classic debate reaction that there are memes around this. It's the idea of, it didn't happen. Well, it did happen. Okay, well, it did happen, but it should happen. That is a typical reversal that you see when someone really isn't prepared at debating. I think that's what you saw in your boomer coworker. Very nice. It's nice when you see it, this phenomenon. Because it's a cross between the factual world and the moral world. It's when you could think of a whole epistemology of goalpost moving, of backing out when you didn't realize you were wrong about some issues. And it could be of the form, well, you know, quantum physics is totally false. And someone would prove, would prove something that it, no, your argument is wrong, and you would back out and say, well, thermodynamics certainly has some issues to it, and they would prove you're wrong, and you back out, but you're still backing out in the factual world. But there's a point at which you have nothing left in the factual world, and your last backing out is a moral reversal, where you say, okay, well, quantum physics is true, thermodynamics works, the theory of gases is accurate, but a world of purple ponies would be so much better. That is the last back out, and because every possible backing out is possible in the moral world. It's like, you could wish that thermodynamics wasn't true. You could wish that all of the laws of physics were wrong. So it's always possible to have this as a last back out, but it's not particularly smart, and it doesn't look good in a debate, let me tell you. Chris Black, someone has shared this, Night King, and I will get to the massive super chat of Blunderbuss after, because he sent $50 on entropy. But we have a Chris Black here saying, I need you to understand something about Bitcoin. It's important. It isn't FUD. It's just the reality of things. The two largest Bitcoin mining pools together controlling over 50% of hash rate for over 1 year now are regulatory compliant and require all miners to comply with KYC. The government has clear identification, visibility, and control over more than 50% of Bitcoin's miners by hash rate. The government can make demands of these people / companies, and they will be required to comply. As this trend grows, Bitcoin's decentralization and game theory both get affected in a negative fashion. This needs to be an urgent topic of discussion within the Bitcoin community. I think that it's an interesting point that we should discuss. I think that we shouldn't, though, take this as FUD, and the equation between the government knows about these miners and therefore they control every aspect of them, and the miners would be able to enforce stuff. The connection is not direct here. First, let's not forget, if there starts to be miner censorship of certain addresses, if that starts to happen, there is always the possibility that alternative miners will specialize in getting your transaction to pass that is very hard to pass through these big miners. And so because of a free market concept here, at some point, suppose we are in a world, a dystopia, where the big miners are ignoring so many addresses that basically they're ignoring an entire block's worth of addresses, then there's going to be other miners who can compete and who are not bound by the by the actions of the American government over those miners. And they could introduce into the blockchain a series of transactions that the other miners would refuse to introduce. So because of this concept of competition, it's not, even if a bunch of miners were under control, you would have to control all of them to really stop a block from being added to the blockchain. That's the first thing. The second is, I don't know if there's history of this, of the government censoring, asking a miner for some action. It may happen at some point, but I don't know that it ever happened yet. I'd have to seek information about this. So it's not necessarily dramatic. Personally, I'm not super worried about this. You know, there's already a form of centralization happening in Binance. The big exchanges, they sometimes coordinate to ignore certain addresses, and they reject funds from certain addresses, and other addresses, they will even try to get the funds back to their legitimate owner when it's a very clearly established hack that has happened. So this has happened, that it's been done by Binance for years now, and it's not been a problem, really. So I don't take issue with this, but I think it's a discussion we can have, but just be clear about the fact that it's not a total FUD on Bitcoin, and there's much exaggerations in the fears that this is an urgent issue. Blunderbuss sends $50 on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I used to listen to you during the Bloodsport era on YouTube, on the public space, but I totally lost track of you for a long time until you showed up on Odyssey. I was wondering what your opinions on the Truckers Freedom Convoy were when that was happening, and did you cover that on YouTube? I did cover the Trucker Convoy moment, and even here I was starting my Odyssey channel, and I was streaming some of the CB conversations of the truckers when they were headed toward Ottawa. Is it Ottawa? Yes, I think it's Ottawa. So yes, I did stream about this, and I did make it a main subject of many shows back then. My opinion of the trucker convoy. I mean, first, what the fuck was this about? I have to refresh my memory because I'm becoming old. The trucker convoy was about vaccines, I think. It was about conditions being put onto the truckers that they had to vaccinate for. Yeah, so I've always been against forced vaccination. I think that the people ended up on the side of the truckers, and people ended up being very sympathetic to their cause. I was very enthusiastic about it happening. And Trudeau had to go rough with basically a bunch of people who have led a protest that gained public acceptance and public support. So I think it was a good overall thing. Owen Benjamin called it a gay rave. And the Canadian government ended up having ideological prisoners, basically, you know, and attacking their bank and their bank accounts. The government showed itself to have way too hard of an end against what was really a freedom protest and a bunch of Canadians just pacifically claiming their freedom. Some of the most memorable moments are, we will keep honking until freedom improves. That is so Canadian. So Canadian to say, the honk will continue until freedom improves. There is such a naivety to it. There is such a beautiful, naive hope that the protest will actually matter in society. It's beautiful. Shamrock Shake says, everyone seems to hate Trudeau. Who the hell supports him at this point? Trudeau is as a base of support among the gerontocracy of Canada. So it's a bunch of boomers who are taking forever to die, and they're just voting Trudeau. That's what's happening. You can't make anything happen on the internet that will change. I mean, maybe if you were to promote the vaccine very heavily in the boomer population, maybe you could actually get rid of Trudeau. Just promote the boosters every 2 weeks. That might that might solve, that might be something you can do from the internet that changes the Trudeau situation. A campaign of promotion of the vaccine. Salamain Hamed points to a Elon Musk response. He had initially said, interesting, but the post was deleted, and Salamain says, it is even more interesting now, Elon Musk. And it's the IDF. They deleted their visit of the hospital. Now, it's not the particular video that I had reviewed, but it's another video in the same style, making similar ridiculous claims. So it's like, it's the same modus operandi of, oh, here's a bag and here's two guns. Therefore, this hospital is a Hamas operating center. They deleted the video. Now, why did they do it? Is it because there's some detail in this video that they found out is so ridiculously untrue that if they leave it there, they're going to be discredited forever? I don't know why they deleted the video, but going through it, it's basically the same kind of crap. It's like, oh yeah, see, we are really in a hospital. And here he's claiming that, see, there's evidence of terrorism because there's tape over the security camera. Well, it's like there can be various reasons why there would be tape. Maybe some patient just taped the camera because maybe there was a schizophrenia patient who doesn't like to be observed. Maybe it's a broken camera and it got taped just so people don't mistake it for a working one. So that's the first piece of evidence that terrorist activities are happening. The second piece of evidence is, look, there's an MRI, but behind the MRI, an entire Hamas command center is present.
Definitely an MRI machine, and if you follow
these terrorists, they use MRIs to hide their dirty plans. Look at the command center of Hamas that he's about to expose.
Behind the MRI machine, I'll show you what our troops exposed just minutes ago.
By the way, when an Israeli speaks English, he's speaking to Americans. This is the language they use only because they want to manipulate your opinion. That is why you have these videos that make the case that there is some Hamas activity in the hospital. It's meant for you. They are speaking to you and they know they are speaking to you. They have been selected because they spoke English well enough to change your mind.
In military terms, this is a grab bag. Grab and go.
Grab and go bag. Well, if it's a grab and go bag, doesn't that tell me that this was not their center of operation? That there may have been a Hamas terrorist who had his bag and he came into the hospital with his bag because he had a brain injury. Maybe he got a bullet in the cranium. And as he was getting his brain scan or whatever, well, as he was getting cared for by some doctor, he dropped his grab-and-go bag. He ungrabbed his grab-and-go bag
of a Hamas combatant. And if you zoom in and we get some light over here, what you'll be able to see is military.
And again, the same modus operandi as the other video. One gun, two guns, maybe some. This is not evidence of military activity happening in the hospital. At best, it is evidence that there was some soldiers of Hamas who may have used the hospital, or some soldiers of some other kind, maybe. But it is not because they went into the hospital and used it that the hospital is a military center. Nigerian says modus operandi means way of operating. Yes, and when I say modus operandi, I'm talking about the cinematography of this. I'm saying the way they made this movie is the exact same way they made the Basement movie I was analyzing 2 days ago. Now, CNN has obtained a body cam video of the October 7th attack, so we get some insight into the first Hamas militants who made it into Israel. Let's have a look.
An explosion. Before dawn on October 7th. The time is here and the attack is underway.
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar, God is great, they chant as they cross the breached fence. Go right, go right, go right.
So those were some of the early entries by Hamas militants into Israel.
Fight, they say. Less than 2 minutes later, they cross the second security fence. They are in Israel, heading towards a key.
There's two security fence keeping human populations into a closed area.
The sun is up, and a day that will reshape the region has begun. This video comes from the body cam of one of the terrorists who took part in the attack. It was obtained exclusively by CNN from the Israel Defense Forces. For the first time, we also see video inside Hamas tunnels before the attack. It is a look into a network of tunnels with what appear to be supplies stored in the darkness. Writing on the walls in Arabic says, "What's hidden is far worse."
Okay, so we're not seeing the worst. We have been warned in Arabic that there are much bigger tunnels down there, especially below the hospital.
Get them!
Above ground, the gunmen.
So they start a long-range firing toward what seems to be maybe a building, a residence, or maybe a military building, I don't know.
Fires his first shots.
Get them, you son of a!
Go on, man, he screams. They stop on the way. More than a dozen militants gather here to prepare for the next assault. One has several rocket-propelled grenades on his back. Minutes later, a group advances across an open field, moving towards the village of Kisufim. The gunman charges the last bit and spots an Israeli soldier on the ground.
Silver Spider says, "I wouldn't go into the tunnels with a camera. How do they know there won't be a Hamas guy?" No, this comes from a body cam that was worn by Hamas militant. And after the killing of the Hamas militant, the IDF captured that camera and handed the video to CNN. So it's not a journalistic work. It's really Hamas militants that were filming this with body cams.
Others join in celebration. Moments
and
later,
so they killed the first Israeli soldier that they were shooting at from a long range.
More composed as he turns the camera on himself. He says his name and that he's 24 years old. He's a father. He says he killed two Israeli soldiers. He asks God for victory and well-deserved martyrdom. On motorbikes now, they keep advancing, moving together along empty Israeli roads. Or
it's crazy when you see the emptiness of the roads. But the world cannot be protected everywhere, you know? So there are long roads in countries that have nothing. And so it's quite fascinating to see that much of it was traveling first. And then they get to a point where there are civilian cars. It appears that the civilians were all executed.
Nearly empty. The man cheers as he sees bodies on the road. His is not the first wave. He rounds a corner. Here, we have seen this place before, among the first videos to come out after the attack. This is dashcam video from a car on the same road moments earlier. The car approaches a group of militants who open fire. The car coasts, its driver almost certainly dead by now. It is just after 7:40 in the morning. After a quick reload, the group approaches a military base near the kibbutz of Re'im. For 65 minutes since crossing the Gaza fence, they have had nearly free rein in Israel. The gunman closes the distance with a weapon he took from an Israeli soldier, opening fire.
And so here he is exchanging fire with an Israeli soldier, and he's about to die.
And fire comes back. This man's part of the attack comes to an end. The terror is just beginning.
All right, so that is what we have as new footage of the events from October 7th. Silver Spider says, I don't know why these guys recorded this. It's quite typical to have some filming of activities like this for propaganda, for recruiting interest into possible Arab support within Western civilization. Young people sometimes watching these videos on the internet and being converted to the causes of Hamas. We've seen that a lot. And there are whole websites dedicated to a form of propaganda that's mostly aimed at young Muslims in Western civilization, and that's what leads to what people call homegrown terrorism. All right. Well, I love this meme of of Xi Jinping, the president of China, but he's been converted into a Chad, and he's been given the Chad jaw structure. Because when this guy came to San Francisco, let me tell you, San Francisco demonstrated its ability to clean up the streets, totally clean up the streets, get all of the homeless people out of the way for the cameras to roll with the cute red carpet, with the Chinese flags everywhere. So Chad Xi Jinping, why doesn't he make a tour of the whole of the United States? It would clean the whole country just to impress him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And Israel is posting their aerial activity where they claim they are attacking Hamas terrorists, but it's not super convincing. As far as I can tell from these, you know, it's like, okay, you can put some text that says, oh, those are Hamas terrorists. But what I see is just regular people carrying bags. How do you know from this video that they were Hamas terrorists? I have no clue. What I see is people who could be carrying groceries, people who could be carrying food, water for their family. And you know, they show their whole annihilation of these people with these gigantic bombs. It's like, what is the intel here? DK Shadow says, just bags, could be anything inside, like water bottles. Yeah, it's like when we see videos like this coming from Russia, there's a whole presentation of the intelligence. Now, Israel is just like, hey, we killed some Hamas people. And it's like, how did you tell they were Hamas people? Trump files a motion for mistrial. He argues that the New York judge has tainted the case irremediably. I hope that he wins, because that's enough persecution of Trump, totally unjustified. Data Hazard is speculating on AI-enhanced homeschooling. He says it will replace public schools much faster than you think. Think urban public schooling, in particular, will never recover from its ongoing death spiral. It's constitutionally incapable of correcting itself. Look at the chronic absence. So that's students who don't show up for like a major portion, more than 10% of all school days. It's becoming more and more a regular thing in urban public schooling. And it's highly correlated to race, because if you look down the line, he has data on this that's very interesting. The public school just cannot keep up with the lowering of the quality of their students. Those are students who will not care about learning. And so it's losing its status as a place for learning. And it's now a place for people to hang out with people of various intellectual qualities, some of them very low. So homeschooling is the solution. AI homeschooling, sure. I think that it can have a role. I think that AI tends to be people are over enthusiastic about AI, I find. I think that there is some place for AI, but most importantly, you should be directing the program of learning of your children. Ray says, this will be one of our last news items. He says, this is one of the most devastating letters ever delivered. A letter from the mother of philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer, Johanna Schopenhauer. You are not an evil human. You are not without intellect and education. You have everything that could make you a credit to human society. Moreover, I am acquainted with your heart and know that few are better. But you are nevertheless irritating and unbearable, and I consider it most difficult to live with you. All of your good qualities become obscured by your super cleverness and are made useless to the world merely because of your rage at wanting to know everything better than others, of wanting to improve and master what you cannot command. With this, you embitter the people around you, since no one wants to be improved or enlightened in such a forceful way, least of all by such an insignificant individual as you still are. No one can tolerate being reproved by you, who also still show so many weaknesses yourself, least of all in your adverse manner, which in oracular tones proclaims this is so and so, without ever supposing an objection. If you were less like you, you would only be ridiculous. But thus as you are highly annoying.